Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this Sunday again. Thank you for this day. A time, O Lord, that we cast aside the mundane things of the world, the life, that we just pull ourselves away from those things and just come together, Lord, like someone else out together, and just to worship, fellowship, Lord, and to listen to thy word. We thank you, Lord, for this day now, and ask that you bless thy word now, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Come with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 24 to 28. I preached this many, many years ago, and I just found yesterday that these five verses of Scripture, a passage, are very commonly used by pastors to preach to their congregation. I didn't know they were so popular, this passage of the book of Proverbs. But let us go to it anyway. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 24 to 28.
There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. Ants are people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no kingdom, yet they go live for all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces.
Amen. All right. Now the Bible is beginning to tell us this, that there are four things that are little upon the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. Little. Little means to say they're small things as compared to us. And there's one thing that we need to know is use the word here, exceeding wise. The word here, exceeding wise, should be translated as wiser than the wise. Wiser than the wise. But it begins with, as the Proverbs of whoever wrote this, most likely was Job in his wisdom, or King Solomon. And four things that are little upon the earth. Little. What? How little is little? Why the Bible use the word little? Here we are studying a comparison as likened unto the believer's life. Let's go to the book of John chapter 13 verse 33. John chapter 13 verse 33. Whoever finds, please read it quickly so we can move on.
Little children, get a little while I'm with you.
Amen.
Ye shall seek me, and I said, as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you.
Little children. Now Jesus Christ is addressing the disciple, the believer. Little children. If an adult comes to you and you're an adult and call you little child, my child, how do you feel? Some people don't understand the expression. My dear child, my children. He says, well, I'm not your children, I'm a big man. But the expression of little children here is an expression of affection. You know what I mean? An affection expression of love to you, because God is looking down upon us. Jesus is looking out upon us, right? As children whom God loves. Little children. So, don't mind God calling you little children. My child. That's what God was used to call. And what was the second part again? Read that again, brother. Read the second part. Second part of that same verse.
Whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you.
Right. So now, whither I go, you cannot come. John chapter 7. He have told them that before. John chapter 7 verse 34.
Ye shall seek me and shall not find me. And where I am, neither ye cannot come.
Right. The Jew, the Pharisees, cannot go where Jesus go. Because they are not born again. Because they don't believe in him. You can only go where Jesus goes only when you believe in his word. And we need the token. Matthew chapter 18, verse 3. Matthew 18, verse 3.
And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter your kingdom of heaven.
Right. Unless you be converted and be as little children. Now, children are considered innocent, as you all know. And, they don't have the mind and the doubt. So we be like the little children. That's what Jesus said. Let the little children come. For such is the kingdom of God. We've got to come to the stage where we are like little children learning. Being born again. You know, we are all sinners. We came to the world sinners. And whether we are adult or not, all the way we are sinners. But the day we are born again, you ultimately become little children. Begin to learn. And if you think that we don't need to learn, that means you're never a child of God because you don't want to learn. Learning is very important. Just like my grandson. The process of learning is important. 2 Timothy 3:15. Wiser than the wise, but look at him and say, why is wiser than the wise? How do you be wiser than the wise people? I know there are a lot of people in the world that are very wise, but if you are wise, your wisdom is of the world, that's one thing. But God wants to teach us His wisdom. 2 Timothy 3:15.
And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus.
What? On the Holy Scripture. That was Paul talking to Timothy, telling Timothy. And Timothy was one young man. He was raised up by his parents. The parents were believers of God. He was raised up knowing the Scripture. And that's why Paul had a great love for Timothy. And Timothy was one who learned and lived his life for the Lord. And verse 25 of the book of Proverbs, where we are, hold that to your in your hand or put a thumb, whatever. The ants are the people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The ants are the people not strong. Wow. The ants. What do you mean by the word people? Translation are like that. The ants are not people. Now, the word are a people means are a congregation, come from the Hebrew word am. Alright, it means actually a congregation. They congregate together like a tribe, like a nation. That's what they are. That's why they are called a people. Psalms 100 verse 3.
Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture.
Right. Now, here again, as I said, when we examine these four little things on this earth, but they are wiser than the wise. Now, the first thing we look at is the end. And I think many of us know what ends are. Huh? I remember when I was young, we used to catch these black ants. It's about 1 cm long. Maybe slightly longer than 1 cm. When we see on the roadside, when there is this the hole, we know those are ants there. So we used to play with them. What do we do? And I think they probably have it. You see it on internet or on National Geographic, where monkeys or chimps wanted to eat the ants. They are smart. They use tools. They use this straw. They pick up straw, long straw, and they put it into the hole, and the ants will grip it with their mandibles, and they pull out and they will eat it. Of course, when we are young, what we do with it, we play, we just take it out, take their hand, and let them bite each other. We are kids, what do kids do? We met around doing silly things, right? Sometimes, think back, as I said, you take the hand and take the hand and let them bite their head off. Kind of cruel, those were the days, but, we are kids, right? I was guilty of being innocent. All right. So these are ants. So you ever watch ants, how they build their nest, and how they move around. And you know the ants move very fast. They are always busy doing work, like the busy bee. But the Bible uses only this ant. Bible can use any insect. Alright, and the Bible here said they are the people not strong. In what sense they are not strong? Actually, ants are very strong. And could carry it with hundreds of times and thousands of times the weight, the body weight. You all know, I've ever seen an ant carrying a big leaf, unbelievable. And if he could not carry it, it's too big, other ants will help to carry it as well. And that's one of the things of it. But they're not strong in the sense that, well, they're a tiny little thing, we can just step on it and kill them all. Correct. They are insignificant. Not strong. They are insignificant. They are weak. They are creatures that nobody cares about. And what are we? What are we? I mean, look at India. The Christians there are considered nobody. They are a weak bunch of people. They are useless bunch of people. They are not strong. And you get all these bunch of fanatics out there, go there into the home where they fellowship and beat them up. Kick them on the face and, you know, break their bones and even kill them. That's how it goes. You know, I was, I don't know how many of you know about history of Second World War. The probably famous movie is called The Bridge on the River Kwai. The Second World War, the Japanese came and built a bridge over the River Kwai in Thailand, so that they could ferry all their munitions, their soldiers down. And in those Second World War, many soldiers died building that bridge. They were not even fed well. And there was a book written by, I think it was a sergeant. He already passed a few years ago. He was an old man. You know, his father was a chaplain. And he was in the war, and he was, you know, captive by the Japanese soldier in this one camp with many, many soldiers, and they were not having anything much to eat. They were all very skinny. And the commander was very evil man. His second in commander was the same. And there were other soldiers who were so full of hatred against him. He tortured the prisoner, beat them up, punched them, kicked them, cut them up with his samurai sword. And in the end, when the British, you know, came over this Southeast Asia with all the B-24, whatever, in the bomber, and it, you know, to liberate Malaysia, Thailand, and Singapore, and all that. So the soldiers were very, you know, they took advantage of getting this commander, or the captain who was in charge of this prisoner, while the big guy, the commander, ran away with all his loot. And you know what he did? And what the prisoner did? One of them was so full of hatred because of how he treated the soldiers, that he himself, you know, he himself tied him up and tortured him. Torture him, not putting him to death, but just to torture him. But this chaplain, he went up there, he couldn't accept this. He knew that he was a bad man. But he said, don't do that. But the other soul was so full of hatred for him. He wanted revenge. Just imagine that. I know, I find it, well, my, you talk about showing mercy to your enemy, you know. And in the end of the war, he met up with some of the Japanese soldiers at a cemetery, in a memorial place, come to grip with the whole thing. It's not easy, huh? But here we have a people not strong, the ants. Romans 5:6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. we are sinners. How can we save ourselves? But Christ died for us. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to 31. Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, findeth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He gave power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increased strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. He is all full of wisdom. Verse 28 says, there is no searching of his understanding. You know, sometimes we wonder about, about you, but me, I wonder about God. And you know, we cannot comprehend God in his totality. I can't. I just marvel at his wisdom and his, his purpose and his plan. Even sometimes, you know, when I look at it, I just don't like some of the things in his plan and in his purpose. But we cannot search out his understanding. We cannot search out his wisdom. Because I do not know the future. I cannot see the future. Right? But he does. What's going to happen to me when I leave this place and on the way home? I want to know what will be happening to me in that period when I leave this place to go home. Maybe it takes about 40 minutes. But from here to there, what transpired, I do not know. Huh? Just today, you saw the paper, I couldn't believe it. A big metal piece, large piece of metal, fell down from one of the buildings in what, someplace in Sengkang or wherever that was. And witness said that a woman almost got killed. He said if she was to be a few seconds slower, she would have. He said, I hate to know what would happen. That piece of metal fell behind her just barely after she walked away from there. Your head must be smashed into pieces. Think about it. Sometimes when I think about the horror of things, how a person can die. Because I work in the emergency room in General Hospital, I have seen it. Huh? It's a horrible thing when a bucket of cement bucket came down from the roof, from the construction site, where two main construction workers were sitting side by side having their lunch. It came down, pow, this part of the head passed off, the brain flew off onto the side of the other worker. He came into our hospital. I look at him, I said, what on earth is this jelly tofu stuff on there? He said, that's the brain of my partner. You never know what's going to drop from above onto your head. So prepare to meet thy God. Because this life of ours is certain that we will die. Don't think you can live for years. When we are young, we think that we are full of life. We don't think about God. Huh? I have lived my life for God the best I know how. I have been thick and thin. Doing bad things, yes. I have often not been living right. But all the years I learned right now, and now I'm 71 years old, I don't regret living my life for Christ. Because I'm just waiting to say, Lord, when are you going to take me home? I just want to go. But you know, in a little while, the Lord always tells me, in a little while, because God has this time. Let's go right now then to, he said, even in verse 30, he said, the young ones, yeah, think that they have a lot of strength. Huh? Yet they will faint. They will fall. So don't think you are strong now. Don't think like many people say, my career was so good, I'm earning a lot of money. But you never know, in the next moment, everything will be stripped away from you. Do you know what is the forecast of the world? Out there, business time, what is the forecast about the economy of the world? America is trillions of dollars in debt. They spend millions and billions and billions and trillions of dollars trying to find life up there in space. Huh? And yet, as they said, mankind on earth is destroying this earth, this very planet that they have. The ants and the insects, all the little creatures of the earth, they know the ecosystem, they try to preserve it. They are the lowest of all creation, and men are the highest of all creation, and men are the most idiotic creatures on this earth. They are destroying the very planet that they live in. And all the other smaller creatures are trying to restore the ecosystem back. But men are just destroying it. All because of greed. And you happen to see what happened out there in Johor Bahru, where they dump all the chemical out there because they don't want to pay to have it clean up. I mean, to pay to get rid of it properly. That's how men is. It happened in America years ago, and people get all the problems. In MIE, in the UK, in Europe, in China, this planet Earth cannot survive. And that's why God is watching. How long would it be before men come to their understanding? Of course, men doesn't come to that wisdom to realize that this is the only planet that God has given to man. You will not find life in those planets out there. You will not. All right, let's go on now to Isaiah 45, verse 24. Isaiah 45, verse 24. And it says, surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even in him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. That's right, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. In a world of sin and sinners, only in the Lord we have our righteousness and strength. We may be to many people, foolish people. Job chapter 12, verse 13.
With him is wisdom and strength. He had counsel and understanding.
Right. So you want strength, you want wisdom, seek the Lord. You know, and the Bible covers so many things. And Bible don't just give you a verse. There are so many verses of the same subject. So that you cannot escape saying, I don't know, I never find, I never read about it. When you really read the Bible and study the Bible, there's no escape from knowing that it's there. But if you don't read the Bible, not only just don't study, but if you don't even read it in the first place, you will not know a thing. And suddenly, the man who don't read the Bible, don't study the Bible, is a very, very wretched person. Especially if you call yourself a Christian. You are a wretched person. Because you have the wealth in your hands, and yet you're not looking at it and use it. Right. Now here we have in the book of Proverbs, go back to it again, the page, the one that we're looking at, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 24 to 28. The ants are not a people, people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. Prepared. They prepare their food in the summer. And we know that it is very, you know, the way that God make this creature, whether it's the hand of bees or whatever creatures there's out there, it is automatically they know when the season comes, the winter is coming, there's no food. Because all the plants go into hibernation. Right? So you got to wait until the next season comes, spring, then summer, then you get your harvest of fruits. So the farmer tells us at the end, not just the end, but many end, they know. Even the chipmunks, the squirrel. Summertime comes, they gather all the acorns, whatever is necessary, as much as it can do, last them through the period of winter, 3 to 4 months. You see. And the ends here, they are prepared. Go to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5. He that gather in summer is a wise son, but he that sleep in harvest is a son that causes shame. I said, what has that got to do with us? But again, because we don't have summer here, we've got a winter here. We're not talking about just food store. But you know, the thing is that I have ever advised those brethren in Africa, as well as those poor nations. I know they are poor because they don't have government. That, you know, and usually, you know, when you've got corrupt government, they are in the suffering. You know. But I told them this. When the time of plenty that you have, keep aside a small portion of your tithes, no matter how small. And I told a brother out there in Malawi, I said, you have all these churches now, 5, 6, 7 of them, gather the minister together and work out a plan. That whatever each church can put aside, put it together, that little fund. So in time when there is a problem in one church, this fund could help go to support them. I said, you can't depend on overseas for help all the time. You see. And the Bible said, if you don't work, you don't eat. Paul said that. You understand what I'm saying about that? It's not about the poor. The poor, Jesus said, you will always have. That we understand. The poor is always there. But the worst than the poor is a man who have hands and legs but do not want to work. They think that he will think that the whole world revolves around him. And the world is obligated to feed him. Look at some countries in the world where they have this social security thing and all, they depend on the government for handouts. Huh? You know, to get a voucher, well, things like that. And you go there and you exchange it for cash or food. Huh? It's not that in times of war. Yes, there's a ration, right? Every household will be rationed. And you get this coupon, how many percent in the house you get this amount of food? But there are a lot of Christians. That's why I rebuked some of them in the Philippines, as well as in Africa, and even India. I said, you have hands and your feet. Go to work. You don't keep on asking me to help you. One woman, my wife is in hospital. Need to pay the hospital bill. Next woman, my son needs to go to school. Cannot pay school fee. Next moment, my motorcycle broke down. I need a little repair. So everything come up from overseas. I have told them many times, I said to this brother, what do you think this little fellowship, where do you get the money from? You think the little fellowship have some kind of a secret thing where you pull down, you know, like a vending machine, money flow down from heaven? And you know what song? They say, Brother God, we are praying that the Lord will bless you to bless us. I said, why don't you pray that the Lord will bless you? You know? You see what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, so this whole thing is that people do not understand the scripture, or because they don't want to know the scripture, or they just think that, well, I'm a Christian. God will take care of me. And how is God going to take care of me? The rich nation like Singapore, like America, like Europe will feed me. Slander. It's terrible. But look at the ends. Everybody have work. You know how that colony of ants are just like the bee. Everyone is a specific, they have their own work. And the church, the body of Christ, is just the same. Everybody have a work to do. Let us do what we know what to do. The worker bee just know what to do. They just work. The queen bee just lay eggs. Yeah, of course. Huh? And the bee that make honey, they know what to do too. So everybody have a work. Because this is called a tribe. That's why they are called a people. A people means a congregation, a nation, a tribe, a group, an assembly. That's what the word am in the Bible means in Hebrew. Alright. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 to 9. Proverbs 6, 6 to 9.
Go to the end, man sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. While having no guide, oversee or ruler.
Overseer?
Her meat in the summer and gather the food in the harvest. How long would thou sleep, O sluggard? When would thou arise out of thy sleep?
Right. Oh, I said, go to the end, thou sluggard. Go and learn from them. Now, I don't know, what do you call a person who studies insectology? Huh? What?
Entomologist.
You know, if you learn all this literature, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't know whether, you know, National Geographic came on sending me, you know, they are from sending me email three times a week, it seems, and they have features of this. Sometimes I enjoy looking at it. The study of animals, the behavior of animals, the behavior of insects, and this discovery of DNA, and all those marvelous things. Now they are trying to tell us, until today's paper, that, you know, you can see that the sun has already have a picture how they photograph the black hole. You know, Brian Andrew Peter was sending me the thing. He said, oh, but I can't look at it. What is the big hole? A black hole. The black hole is just a black thing. It's just a black hole. But they have a picture. I want to know how it looks like. They found it, was able to capture it. Say something. They are going to show it. I don't know. Nobody, you can see it on the news. I'll be excited to see what actually it is. Come and show me a picture of a black hole, just a black thing. Well, that might be just, you know. All right, that's supposed to be a very dense thing, a mess. Well, I don't know. I'm not much into all this scientific theory and you know, all this theory thing, you know. But I know that God did all this wonder up there in heaven and just for us to enjoy. It's for His own good pleasure. After the millennium is over, after new heaven, new earth comes, what's God going to do? As I said, I don't know, maybe I tell the Lord, look, can I take a trip around the universe just to see what's up there? The creation that you have, just marvelous. You look at the nebula, right? Look at what, how wonderful they are. You see? This does not happen by itself. And that's why you look at it, the beauty of it. I can't wait to go and have on a long vacation. And that's vacation that will never end. Right? Here, all our vacation ends. Okay, let us continue now. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. Read it quickly.
For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham.
Right.
That which he has spoken of.
See? You see? Here was a man who God looked at. And know that Abraham was a man who will prepare his children. They will raise his children well. That's why it's important to prepare. Prepare no need just, you know, for the winter as in the physical. Here we all keep we have some saving in case of rainy days. Sure. Right. But what about spiritually? Abraham was able to raise his children right in the fear of the Lord. So what about us? What do we prepare for the coming years? What is going to happen? Huh? Economy, as I said just now, what do you think is going to happen to this world? They say the economy is going to go into America, is going to go into a slum next year, 2020. But Singapore is okay because our dollar is strong. But what affects the whole world out there affects us. Even though how strong our money, our currency is, it will affect the whole world, will turn upside down. Huh? Would it be like what happened in America in the earlier 20th century when there was a collapse? And with a lot of investors just jumping off the building and dying. What's going to happen? Genesis 47:12. We're just taking these three examples. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. He fed them. He cared for them. Prepared and nourished them. Now let's go to Matthew 24:32. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender and put forth leaf, you know that summer is near. It's nigh. Well, that's a parable. That's a narration about Israel. When you see a fig tree putting on leaves, you know the summer is coming. It's near. Indeed, Jesus was giving this parable, and we know that this parable is already happening in our day. Right? It's already here in our day. Israel already rebirthed in 48. They have put forth leaf, but they have to come to the stage of fruition. Right? And they are still waiting for the Messiah. They are waiting for it. But as long as there are Jews who are Orthodox, who are having their own teaching based upon the traditions of not the Torah, but the Talmud. And when they have that oral tradition, not based upon the Torah, the Talmud is an interpretation of what the Torah is by some rabbis, some teachers, and that's been handed down, and they put this above the Torah. Just the people in the end time message put the word of Brother Branham, the interpretation of Brother Branham's teaching by some elders, put it upon above the word of God. And now we have in Israel, they're still with their people, they're waiting for their Messiah, but the Messiah that they're waiting for is not the Messiah of the Old Testament, not the one in the New Testament. They have their own versions of the Messiah. The one that will come and bring forth the Noahic law. Noahic law. The seven laws of Noah. Right. They're going to use it. That's what man is. When the straw man will come, they sign a peace treaty, or sign an agreement, and all everything will come into place. Verse 26 of Proverbs chapter 30. Now, let us look at the coins. Verse 26 of Proverbs 30, chapter 30. The coins are but a feeble fool, yet make they their houses in the rocks. Now the coins, what are the coins anyway? Coins, if you go to Europe and you talk to the European, you know, and ask them, do you have coins in your country? Yeah, they say, yeah, we have coins. So what they look like? They're rabbits, they will tell you. But the word coins, you know, it's such a strange word in the Bible that people think it's rabbit. But actually, we interpret it today's popular language is called hyrax. It's actually animals that look a bit like guinea pigs. But they don't like to call the rabbit coins because they have their paws. You know rabbit's paws, right? Rabbit doesn't have a claw. They have paws, soft paws. And because they have the soft paws, they find it very hard to burrow into sand And so usually this corny, they are just like guinea pig, like sometimes they call it perhaps like mountain mouse or whatever. They're very short paw, they're short neck, so they find hard to borrow. So what they do is that this corny, as the Bible here said, they are but a few, but yet they make their houses in the rocks. So they go up to the mountainside, higher area, you know, you don't find rocks on the field, usually. You find rocks in the mountain, and when there are rocks in the mountainside, there are always holes, crevices. And they build their house inside there. That's how smart they are. They don't have to go and borrow. Every time you see a little hole, yeah, they can sneak in. You know. That's what it is. He says, now, it is Job 44 says, when you mention about the word feeble folks, what do you understand by the word feeble folks? So Job 4, verse 4.
Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble wind.
Okay, feeble folks. Everything about them, they are weak, they are not strong, they're not able to borrow. So let's go to Zechariah chapter 12, verse 8. Zechariah.
In the day shall the Lord defeat the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is evil among them, and that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them.
Alright. So the Lord promised his people strength. No matter how feeble we are, you know, sometimes I said, when I look at this extreme extremist, you know, in India, who seek to destroy the Christians. And now, you just see the video how that they kick the Christians, kick them in the face, kick them in the rib, kick them in the groin. So really, literally, they are just killing them to death. I mean, kicking them to death. And yet, this Christian then, no matter how feeble they are, just a few of them, they are not fighting back. They're not going to fight back because they're willing to die for Christ. And God gave them the strength. You know. It's just that this story also in the prison camp about this British POW. The chaplain tried to save one of them tried to save his friend because the Japanese captain was about to cut off his hand. He stood up there and went up to the Japanese captain, and he's the only one who could speak Japanese. He whispered something in his ear. But the prisoner whom the Japanese soldier was about to cut off his head, he told him, "What are you saying? No!" So the captain did not cut off his head. The captain took this man, bring out of the campsite where there's a bamboo fence, and nail him to the cross and lift him up. He was literally nailed to the cross. He was willing to sacrifice his life for his friend. In an hour when you show mercy and sacrifice someone, there's a whole lot of strength that God gave. How did Jesus Christ make his way to the cross? Now, I don't know about you. Many times I meditate. How is it possible that a man standing there being kicked and whipped for your faith and not fighting back? Jesus did not retaliate. Peter was willing to retaliate. Took the sword and cut off one of the guard's ear, right? Jesus said, "Put that sword away." He took off the ear that was cut off and put it back onto the man. And he said, "I'm ready." That's why he prayed three times in Gethsemane for strength. If there's a possible way that he would not have to die, to suffer humiliation, And I could see in the video all the people crowding around, kicking these three or four Christian men. How humiliated it was. And they are just going to die. Will you be willing? But God will give strength in a moment when you need it the most. Fear not. Alright. It goes over to the next part of the Proverbs. The corny about the feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rock. Well, he said the word rocks. Well, of course, literally make rocks, but in the Hebrew, it's just a singular word. Rock. Alright. Well, 2 Samuel, chapter 22, verse 2 to 3. And he said, the Lord is my rock, and my fortress, and my deliverer. The Lord of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. My high tower, and my refuge, my Savior, thou givest me from violence. Hear my cry, O Lord. Remember the Psalm? Psalm 61. Attend unto my prayer. Then what does he say? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Right? We need a rock that is higher than I. Something that we can have, like a crony, like the cronies, to be able to run into the rock and hide. Moses, you want to see my face? You will not see it. But I will put you upon a rock. Right? God told Moses, I'll put you upon a rock. And I'll put my hand and show you, and you'll see my back. The rock. Who is our rock? The rock of my salvation, Christ. Rock of ages, cleft for me. So be wise, that is corny. We might be weak. There's nothing in this world that you can build that can protect you from the storm that is coming. What is coming? What is ahead now? If you have been watching the news, you will see what's going on. There's so much trouble in the world. Now even President Trump is supposed to run for the next presidential election next year again, and they said they're going to bring him back. And Democrats, they're fighting among themselves. They're split in the house is divided. You know we're talking about a house in America. The Senate, the House of Senate, they're divided. Even among the Democratic, they're divided. How can two walk together unless they agree? The Democrats cannot agree among themselves. How do you think they're going to vote? What are they going to vote? And the people in America are divided. 50% agree, yeah, we need Trump. The other 50% away with Trump. Here in Singapore, at least the people have more sense. Most of us, anyway. To vote for a party that can run a country proper. Huh? And I always thank God for this island here. That we have a place that we have religious harmony. Right? No country is perfect, of course. But we have at least one of the best places to live here. And there are a lot of people wanting to come here and live. Or come here illegally to make a living. Sure. And you can read in the paper the plan of our government, they're trying to build underground and this and that. Well, I think we are saying, I said, okay, we are going to build it for the millennium. So we think of what we have. But all these things is going to pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. And the word of God is the rock. Huh? Correct. Bring me to the rock that is higher than I. Bring me to the revelation of your wisdom, not mine. For your wisdom is higher than my wisdom. For heaven is higher than the earth. Your thought is higher than my thought. Psalms 18 verse 2. Psalms 18 verse 2. Remember about a hiding place. You are my hiding place, and how true it is. Psalms 18 verse 2. Read.
The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, whom I will trust, my partner, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower.
Right. Everything that God is to us. Verse 27 now of chapter 30 of Proverbs. The locusts have no king, yet go there forth, all of them by bands. One thing interesting about this locust. Let me just mention here something. In the first instance of the ants, we only use the four P's. The ants know how to prepare. They are preparing for what's to come, for summer, for winter. Summer come, prepare for winter. And we should be like them, preparing for what is to come. And now we have the cronies. The crony is a creature that knows their position. Where to find a position, a place that is safe in time of storms. And they find it in the rock. And where is the position? If you say that you are a believer, a child of God, do you find your position in Christ? Do you find your place in Christ? Now we come to this locust. The locust, it says that they have no kings. Yet they go forth, all of them, by bands. Oh. So what's wrong with this locust? Obviously, you look at locusts. I don't know, we know what locusts are. Locusts are giant grasshopper. The big, you know, and some of you look at a grasshopper, the small one, the green one, it looks okay. But you ever see the big one? But very, very rarely do you see it now. When I was young, when I was in secondary school, the science teacher, we are studying biology, they say, if you bring me cockroaches, one cockroach, I give you 1 cent. So we did. So my brother and I, you know, we went to our, that time we lived on a lower deck, lower point, I mean, lower floor, the ground floor. So we just put fire under all those drainage. All the cockroaches came out, we brought it down in bags, I brought it to my school, and teacher said, wow! Start counting down one cockroach a cent. Then they say, okay, I need grasshopper. You know, one grasshopper, 10 cents. How are you going to get a big grasshopper? He said, I want a big one. So we found a place up in Queenstown, up there was a field. There were a whole lot of locusts. Big ones. So we grabbed them and put them in, and they got a big amount too. 10 cents one piece in those days in the 60s. Hey, that's a lot of money, you know. Huh. Ah, what a good. If you look at a locust carefully, it doesn't look nice. It looks yellow. It looks, you don't want to touch them, but I know, you know one thing, maybe you don't like it, and I don't like it, but John the Baptist loved it. They taste sweet to him. And yet, but it is very nice. Actually, I tasted it, I like it too. But you know, the locust doesn't have a king. They don't have a leader. Now, if you examine, there are two stages to the locust. When they are young, you know, they don't have wings. Huh? They just little on the ground, they just hop, you know. They don't travel wide, but they just crawl. But when they are big, they have these big hoppers. Leg, pop, they will jump. Oh my, 60 times the length of their body. And with the wind blowing, they will actually fly with it. But when they were young, in the first stage, they are solitary creatures. They don't band together. They hop here, they go someplace and hide, they eat whatever it is. So you are individual. Sometimes you need to be alone. Right? True. But when they come to the second stage, oh my, they know how to band together. They know how to gather together. They don't need the king to say, hey, come on, let us get together and let us fly and strip of all the crops of the land. They don't have a king. They don't have a commander. Right now, you and I, we don't have a visible commander. Because we don't have a headquarters. Right? Yeah. We all don't have. We don't have a visible king. See? But when the time comes, when the helpers, when they grow into the local size, you know, they know when to move together, band together, and start to fly. And swarm. And there are times, of course, you and I, being alone, we need to be alone, sometimes meditate on our own, yeah. But there are times when we come together. The Bible says, not forsaking to assemble ourselves together. Reason it. We don't have to say, hey, headquarters say we must come together. No, we don't have to, because we have an invisible king. Because we move by the Spirit of the Lord. We move in Him. Isn't it right? That's when we come together. Let us read some of it. John chapter 14, 19 to 20. John 14, 19 to 20.
Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But ye see me because I live. Ye shall live also.
Right. And so, you know, when Jesus Christ was about to go, he told the disciple, in a little while you see me no more. Because I live, you live also. And the disciples could not comprehend that. Just imagine to have a leader just no longer be around. Huh. But you know one thing for sure. What Jesus told the disciple was so true. He said, I need to go. I need to go. He said, but I'll come back again to you. But when he came back, he came in a spirit form. And you know one thing, when Jesus came back in a spirit form, the disciple knows more than when Jesus was with them. Jesus said, I cannot tell you everything now because you are very hard to comprehend. But when I go and the Spirit is come, He will guide you and lead you into all truth and show you things to come. That's why Peter became a changed man. Huh? Thomas was also a changed man. Right? Bartholomew, you don't hear much about him, was a changed man too. You see, that's why we're not being guided by something visible. We are being guided by something invisible. 1 Peter 1, 8 to 9.
Whom have you not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul.
Right. You have not seen him. I'm not seeing him. I love what Helen Keller said. You know Helen Keller, right? The blind woman was born blind, was playing the piano. And was asked, what is the greatest joy that you will have? What do you like? What do you really want in life after you go to heaven? Say, the first person I want to see is Christ. The first person. You don't want to see anybody. She doesn't want to see anybody but Christ, the first person she wants to see. Because all her life she's been born blind. She never seen any face of all. Not even the face of the mother or the father. Hey. And yet, all her life of blindness, she was filled with joy. Different. You see, this is what I always say. We all have a choice. In the world today, you have the LGBT. You know, Singapore issued about Section 377A. One gay rights and all that. Wow. I mean, you want to be gay, go be a gay, but having the whole nation come under, you know, into a bigger section of passing in parliament, then you're okay. This right, that right, a man can marry a man, a woman can marry a woman. Isn't it crazy? Huh? Well, Hebrews 11, 8 to 16.
By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should, after receiving an inheritance, obeyed and went up, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heir to him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundation, built and made for his God. Mm-hmm. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, strengthened even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Israel died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
Amen.
For that they say such things, declare plainly that ye seek a country, and truly if they have been mindful of their country from whence they came out, they might have an opportunity if we have returned. But now they desire a better country than is happening. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called a God, for he hath prepared for them a city.
As a locust, when you are alone, like Abraham, Exodus, Isaac, many of these, they were chosen, they were called. Abraham was called to go out to the land that would be given to him. He was alone, you know, solitary, but holding on to the faith. And I believe that's what we are. So we are called out into the world. You see, God works not with a group, He works with individuals. Every one of us, we are all pressing on to the mark of the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 16.
Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting these things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are before. I press towards the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything, ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and not them which walk so as ye have asked for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ.
Amen. Every one of us, Paul said, you know, he didn't consider himself that he had attained it yet. I mean, we are Christian here, yeah, we are, in the eyes of the Lord, we are saints. In the eyes of the Lord, He looked at us as no longer sinners, but His children. But we're not perfect yet. We have not attained to that place yet. That's why Paul said, I press on to the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. And we have to. As an individual, we have to. But yeah, as an individual, we cannot always walk alone. The locusts come to a stage where they need to band together. We walk together. And so that's where we go. Over again of the Bible, where the Bible says about we provoke one another to good works. And Ephesians chapter 4, what does it say? The God, the Lord Jesus, the Son of Heaven, He give us gifts. Right? Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, for what? For the perfecting of the saint, and so on and so on. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body itself in love and so on. So we need to work together as the body of Christ. We're never, therefore, always an individual. There are times when we are individual because God is dealing with you. When God deals with each and every one of us, being that we are all different, the way that God dealt with us are totally different. He knows your weakness, so He works in that area in your life. He knows my weakness, He works in that area in my life. So that we may come and attain to that place of perfection. So we need to. Don't take a Christian life for granted. Say, oh, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus. You see, that's why I'm saying a lot of people don't even know the Bible. Just I told you just now about this, you know, a Christian trying to having a little discussion with Jehovah's Witnesses. And he didn't even know his Bible. You know. There are those that believe in that Jesus Christ, all of God right there. There's no Holy Spirit, no Spirit of God up there. Yeah, you can see that there are all people. Jesus is, and you ask them, where was Jesus, or where was God when Jesus was on earth? God was in Jesus, God, all there. God is not in heaven. Now how silly it is when you read the Bible, that Jesus God looked into the heaven and worshiped God. So who is that he's worshiping out there? Or was he looking out to heaven and then pray to himself with God inside him? That's what all of you are there to understand that. And there are those that try to make Father, Son, Holy Ghost three persons when there is no such a thing. And God has revealed all that which is to us. Let us move on. Don't keep and slow down in your pace that you are. Alright? So now when the locust is finished, we know that the locust, therefore, when the time comes for them to band together, they're no longer solitary, they become gregarious. Huh? And though they come together, they come in together in partnership. That's right. The first one, the air, separation. The second one, your position, your place in the Lord. The third one is partnership. Partnering together, share together, work together in the body to achieve something. Last one, verse 28 of Proverbs chapter 30. The spider took a hold with her hands and is in King's Palace. Now the word spider here in King James, I don't know what other version you have, you might say it is a gecko. Is it a lizard or a gecko? But you see the Hebrew word here is noxious. It's something that you look at it and say, I don't like it. How many of you love geckos in your home? How many of you love spiders? Nobody likes it. You see a lizard going around, man. Oh, the dropping something on the wall. You see that, huh? You don't like the stuff. And you see the spider with all that. I mean, small one is one thing. I mean, I think most of us, our home sure has spiders. I don't mind some small spider because they get rid of all those other flies or whatever they're coming in. But when you see a big one, a tarantula, I tell you, you will scream. I guess when you scream, a neighbor probably could hear it too. And that is in the Hebrew way, it means noxious. Something that is, how was the word they say? Capricorn, pestiferous. You don't like it. It's a creature that is annoying, troublesome. That's what it means. Whether it's a gecko, whether it's a spider, or any insect that you don't like it, that is found in the house. And here it is true. It says, the noxious creature takes hold with her hands, and it's in the king's palace. You know, you always see spider out there in the field. That's why when I was in Zimbabwe, I went to stay with a brother. I said, what in my room? I went into the room, I could see spider all over the wall and the ceiling. And when I got to the toilet sitting there, the spider just beside me, as big as my palm like this, where it's spread out. It just beside me, you know. And I look at it, I say, you stay where you are. You know, you see this spider, you don't look at it, you feel it. And you're sitting on the bed and you see it hanging up there. They are big, they are brown, but they don't fall, it's okay. You know, they are not poisonous, but the thing is that you don't like it to bite you even. When it bites you, you don't know that you might be allergic to just a bite. Huh? You know, I mean, huh? So, well, just noxious. But how they crawl into the house. So as the Bible said, this noxious creature takes a hold with their hands. That means they, with all their persistence, going up and build what they want to build up in the on the ceiling. So if they can get into the king's palace, so the king sitting on his throne, the spider is hanging up there, or the gecko is moving up there, and they are little creatures. Let's go into the Bible verses here. 2 Timothy 4:7-8.
I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that have done his appearance.
Fighting a good fight. That's important. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23.
Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised.
Hold fast, fight a good fight, pressing on. Philippians chapter 3, 10 to 14.
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either by either already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus.
So you know, you keep on fighting for it, hold on to it, just like a spider, climbing all the way up. Spiders don't usually want to go onto the ground as fast as possible. Alright? Especially in a room, a building, they want to go up there to build a web, whatever. The gecko, the same thing, they want to go up as high as they can. It's in the king's palace. King's palace. Are we going to climb on all the best to get into the king's palace? Look at the example now. We have Daniel, David. Now these are the characters. But David, you know, he was a man after God's own heart. But he was a nobody in the family of his brothers. You know, they were all soldiers. When he heard about what the Philistine was mocking God, and none of the soldiers in the camp could take the challenge from Goliath, he said, let me go. When he's a puny little guy, about 24 years old at most. Puny little guy. And not even the armor could fit him because he was small built. But he didn't miss this. And he went through all that. Daniel, how he was in the lion's den. Moses, Abraham, all these are the characters with diligence they push on. 2 Peter 1:10. Two more verses, or three, and then we finish. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10.
Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure.
Right? Your diligence. Make your calling. Just that verse will do. You see, make a diligence. Be diligent. Make your calling sure. Are we diligent? Are you? That's what we need to hop eye over. That's what Abraham said, hop eye his weakness. That's why you ever see Brother Abraham. He said, when he's driving his car, he said, why do I have a cross hanging in front of my car? He put a cross there, you know, a wooden cross there or something. He said, the reason why is that when you're driving and you don't get distracted by, you know, silly woman walking on the road, you know, the problem is that we are very easily distracted. Yeah, I mean, we all look at people. You see a girl walk past, pretty girl, you look, sure. You see a handsome looking man, sure. But some people take a double take, turn around and walk and look and look and look and look. And what you do, what are you looking at? In those days when miniskirt came into Singapore, miniskirt was such a distraction to many people. And even there have been cases where tragic accident happened because of the miniskirt woman walking along the road. Now, not just mini above the knee, Many, many until they could see the very brief underwear in those days. Destruction. So, are we diligent to keep watch over our spiritual life? First Corinthians 15:58.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always unbounded, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as we know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Steadfastness. So let our hearts be like a black or a spider, just keep on moving. Seek to where we want to go, to be in the king's palace. A little creature, obnoxious. I think we are all the same before. We are obnoxious guy, obnoxious woman. Huh? I don't know about your character before you come to know the Lord. But if our character don't change, something is wrong. Are you so obnoxious that people hate your behavior? So we need to change. And then we want to be in the king's palace, we climb. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20-21, the last verse. Revelation chapter 3. Here we have the whole of this little look at the four creatures. Revelation 3, 20-21.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant a seat with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne.
Right. You are a noxious creature. We are noxious creature. We are sinners. Saved by grace. I mean, would you invite a spider come and sit beside you? Would you invite a spider to sit beside you? You would. Or the 50 looking little geckos to come and sit beside you. You won't, probably won't. But the Lord says, if you overcome, come and sit beside me. When you overcome, then you sit beside me. So we are four little, we are just like four little creatures, insignificant, yet they have a story to tell us. Huh? Right. So, in the end part of the whole thing, we but be persistent to enter into the king's or the Lord's kingdom. And I believe the Lord will give us the strength to do just that. Keep on going. The Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, bless you, O Lord. Thank you for your grace. We thank you, Father, for your word. A little passage here, a little passage there, Father, that teaches us, Lord, about life. And teaches us about faith and being diligent, being steadfast, pushing forward, Lord, and pressing toward the mark of the high calling of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we thank you now, asking that you bless, O Lord, the rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.